Well, greetings, radio friends, in the precious name of God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, coming to you with another radio broadcast of plain and straightforward gospel preaching. Yes, and I'm here today in the fear of God alone. And friends, I believe in being honest about the truth of God's word, and so that's the reason I tell it like it is. No, I don't believe in a watered-down gospel like some people preach in order to please their listeners. I have to stand someday before Jesus Christ, and I've got to give an account of my stewardship in the gospel of God's grace. And friends, I trust that I'll never be charged with being guilty of mishandling the truth of God. Now, I'm aware of the fact that most people don't like to hear the truth, and it's been that way from Adam on down to the present day. But friend, what you do with the truth is entirely up to you, and it's your soul that must exist in either one of two places for all eternity. If you're saved and born again, then your soul will be in heaven. On the other hand, if you're not saved and have never been born again through faith in Jesus Christ, then according to this book, the Bible, yes, according to God, in whose hand your very breath is, you'll spend all eternity in the torments of hell and the lake of fire. And furthermore, friend, when you drop into the flames of hell, you'll remember me telling you that you would remember. So please, friend, give heed to God's word today and accept God's salvation as expressed in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence today to thank thee again for thy beloved Son. We thank thee, our God, for his love, his mercy, and his grace that took him all the way to Calvary's cross, where there he died and shed that precious blood without which there could be no remission for sin. We pray thy blessing, Father, upon thy word wherever Christ is being preached today. Save souls, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, before getting into the Bible today, let's listen to the best-known hymn of all time, The Old Rugged Cross.
Thank you.
friends, I for one sure thank God today for the old rugged cross. Yes, nearly 2,000 years ago, in the heat of a noonday sun, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for you and for me. He shed that precious blood without which there could be no remission for sin. And I know there are many people today and they don't like to hear about the blood of Christ. But my friend, that's the only thing I'm depending upon to take me into the heaven of God, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now then, those of you who care to follow me in the Scriptures, I'll be reading today a verse of Scripture as we find it in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17. Acts 17 and verse 30. Acts 17 and verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Let me repeat the text. This is Acts 17 and verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at or overlooked, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of His Word. Now, friends, the background of this portion of the Word of God has to do with the Apostle Paul preaching on Mars Hill in the city of Athens, Greece. And he's quite disturbed at the pagan worship and other things that he is seeing there. And so he gives this verse of Scripture, which is most significant. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now, friends, the Bible is a book that is filled with many of the commandments of God. The best known, of course, are those that are referred to as the Ten Commandments. And I'm sure that most of you listening in have memorized some of those even as a child in Sunday school. And on a previous broadcast, we touched briefly on these commandments and showed by the Word of God that their purpose was to stop every mouth so that the world may become guilty before God. These laws of God, therefore, were measuring devices whereby we can see our own sinful and filthy condition in the sight of a holy God. We also found out in God's Word that by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. In fact, over in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21 we read, if righteousness came by the law, now that includes the Ten Commandments, then Christ is dead in vain. Now then, today with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I would direct your attention to this verse of Scripture in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, where we read these words, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now, friends, at the outset, let me say that when God gives a command, it is intended that His royal command be obeyed. And with this thought in mind, I would strongly suggest that you pay strict attention to what God has to say in this verse of Scripture. First of all, we notice in this verse that we find the word now. And that word in itself tells us that there's no guarantee of tomorrow. How often, especially in the matter of salvation, people tend to believe that there's plenty of time to think about eternity and getting saved later on. And oh, how many souls are in hell today who expected to get saved someday. Friend, we often say that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Friend, you have absolutely no assurance that you'll ever see the light of another day. In Proverbs 27 and verse 1 we read, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And over in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And even in the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah, in chapter 1 and verse 18, here's what God says. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So, friend, our first thought regarding this verse of Scripture today is the fact that God expects you to obey His commandment now. Not tomorrow, not next week or next year, but right now. Now, another thing we notice about this verse, Acts 17 and 30, is that the command which God gives is to all men. All men everywhere. And why would that be? Well, Romans chapter 3 tells us that there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, friend, the reason God gives this command to all men everywhere is simply because all are sinners. Oh, yes, I'll admit that some are bigger sinners than others. But, my friend, that doesn't change the classification one bit. Little sinner or big sinner, old sinner or young sinner, rich sinner or poor sinner, Catholic, Protestant, Jew, or anything else, God's Word says that there is absolutely no difference, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all therefore are on their way to judgment. And all must be saved in order to get to heaven. And all must be saved the one way that God gives. And that one way is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His finished work at Calvary's cross. Now friends, we've barely touched on the introductory words in our scripture text for today. But I want to spend a few more minutes on the command that God gives to all men everywhere. And that is to repent. Yes, the command is to repent. Now, I believe that repentance is one of the most fundamental doctrines in all the Bible. And yet it is one of those truths that so many people today fail to understand. I believe that there are more people in the dark today concerning repentance, regeneration, and atonement than on any other doctrine. And yet, from an early age, most of us have heard these terms. Now, as far as repentance is concerned, I believe that no man, woman, boy, or girl is prepared to believe or receive the gospel until he or she is ready to repent of their sins. Until John the Baptist met Jesus Christ, he had but one message: repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, if he had continued to preach repentance without pointing the people to the Lamb of God, he would not have accomplished very much at all. But he was leading up to the time when the Son of God would commence his public ministry. He was pointing forward to that one whose blood alone could cleanse from all sin. When Christ did come, he took up that same cry of John the Baptist, for we read over in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17 where Jesus Christ says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And when our Lord sent out his disciples, it was with the same message as we read in Mark 6 and verse 12, that men should repent. And even after Jesus Christ had been glorified, and when the Holy Ghost came down, we find Peter on the day of Pentecost raising this same warning: repent, repent. And now in our scripture today, we find the Apostle Paul over in the Greek city of Athens uttering the same cry: God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now friends, before I tell you what repentance is, let me briefly tell you what repentance is not. Friends, repentance is not fear. No, repentance is not fear. Many people today, I believe, are confusing the two. They seem to think that in order to repent, they have to be terrified, and so they wait for some kind of fear to come over them. True, one must be convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, and when he is, there is a reverential fear of God and God's eternal judgment upon him. But my friend, fear in itself is not repentance. Why, even the demons fear God, but fear is not repentance. You might think that Pharaoh repented when God sent the terrible plagues upon his land. But my friend, it was not repentance at all. For the very moment that God's hand was removed, Pharaoh's heart was harder than ever before. He didn't turn from a single sin, for he was the same evil man with a heart that was desperately wicked. So even though Pharaoh may have feared God's power, his fear was not repentance. You know, quite often when death comes into a family, it looks as if the event might lead to the conversion of all those who are in the family who are yet unsaved. Death has displayed its power, and fear enters the heart of those outside of Christ. They might even start to attend church more regularly. The coin which once clattered into the collection tray has now blossomed into a graceful dollar bill. Yes, the nightly visitation to the local tavern for rock and rye or rock and roll is now replaced by a quiet evening at home. The world of public entertainment must do without their presence because there is fear in the heart. Ah, but give them about 3 months' time, if that long, and all is forgotten. Yes, when God's hand was heavy upon them, it looked as if they might repent. But the trial is soon forgotten, and back they go to their wallowing in the muck and mire of open sin. No, my friend, repentance is not fear. Then again, repentance is not feeling either. Many people are waiting for a certain feeling before they repent. They say that they would like to accept Jesus Christ, but they believe that they must wait for the right feeling. These people usually drop off into eternity and into hell, where they experience a feeling all right, but not the one they've been waiting for. My friend, God doesn't ask you to trust in feelings, because feelings are dependent upon one's physical, mental, and emotional makeup. Yes, a great many people temporarily fear God, yet they do not repent. Likewise, many people may feel like sinners, and yet not repent of their sin. No, my friend, repentance is not feeling. Once again, repentance is not fasting either. A man may fast for weeks or even months and yet not repent of one sin apart from the sin of gluttony. Listen, friend, depriving one's body of an abundance of food may be a good idea hygienically, but this physical deprivation has no part in repentance for one's sins. No, my friend, repentance is not fasting. Neither is repentance a synonym for remorse. Judas, you may recall, had terrible remorse, even up to make him go out and hang himself. But that wasn't repentance at all. And I personally believe that if Judas had gone to the Lord Jesus Christ, fallen on his face, and confessed his sin, he would be in heaven today. Instead of doing that, he went to the priest, confessed his sin, and then put an end to his life. Yes, a man may do all sorts of penance, but penance is not repentance. You cannot meet the claims of God by offering the fruit of your body for the sin of your soul. Friend, repentance is not remorse. Now listen to this, friend. Repentance is not the conviction of sin. Now to some of you, that may sound rather strange. And yet there are many souls in hell today who, when they were alive, were under such deep conviction of sin that they couldn't eat or sleep. They couldn't eat their meals without eternal thoughts coming before them, and regardless of where they went or what they did, their sins loomed large before their eyes. They may have gone on like this for months, yet they were not converted, and they did not repent of their sin. No, repentance is not conviction of sin. But remember this, friend, you can be convicted without repenting, but you cannot repent without conviction. No, conviction of sin is just as essential to the salvation of the soul as is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, neither is praying repentance. No, praying and repentance are not synonymous terms. You know, too many people seem to think that as long as they pray that everything's going to be all right. Yes, people today are praying, and most of their prayers don't go any higher than the head or the ceiling. They may make long-winded prayers with a great degree of eloquence, but if they're unsaved, the only prayer that can make God listen will be the prayer of the publican over there in Luke 18 and verse 13, when he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the prayer that God wants you to give, my friend. That's the prayer he's listening to even at this moment. He's anxious to see if you'll repent of your sin and cry out to God for mercy. Yes, many people, when they become anxious about their soul's eternal destiny, say that they will pray it through and read the Bible, and they honestly believe that this is repentance. Others believe that if they shout and sing, rant and rave, roll on the floor, or handle snakes, surely this is repenting of one's sins. Friend, nothing could be further from the truth. Friend, this is not repentance. Now, still others believe that if they break off from some one gross sin, that is repentance. Oh, yes, I know a great many people make this same mistake. An habitual drunkard signs a pledge card and stops drinking. This is not God's definition of repentance at all. A profane man may stop swearing, but if he doesn't break off from every sin, it is not repentance. Forsaking one vice is like breaking off one limb of a tree when the whole tree has to be destroyed. When the Spirit of God goes to work on an individual sinner, he cuts down the whole tree. He kills the roots, and all with one swipe of the axe. No, my friend, repentance is not a gradual reformation, but rather an immediate regeneration by the Spirit and Word of God. Well, then you might ask, just what is repentance anyway? Well, friend, very briefly, repentance is right about face. Another definition could be a change of heart, mind, body, and soul. You know, over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us about a young man who, when he was told by his father to go to work in the vineyard, he said, I will not. A short time later on, he thought it over, and away he goes into the vineyard to do the work that his father told him to do. This, my friend, was the Lord Jesus Christ's definition of repentance. If an individual can truthfully say, by the grace of God, I will forsake my sin, accept Christ as my Savior, and do the will of God, that would be repentance. Someone has said that man is born with his back towards God and his face towards destruction. But friend, when a man truly repents of his sin, his back is toward destruction and his face is toward God. He becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You know, we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now perhaps someone is asking, well, how long does it take to repent? I'll answer that question with yet another question. How long does it take you to turn around and change your mind? And that's how long it takes to repent. One moment you're lost, the next moment you're saved. One moment you're on the broad road to hell, the next moment you're on the narrow road to heaven. One moment you're a child of the devil, the next moment you're a child of God. Listen, friend. Every conversion recorded in the Bible was instantaneous. Repentance and faith came hand in hand. The moment a man made up his mind to repent, as well as his heart, God gave him the power. God doesn't ask man to do the impossible. He would not command all men everywhere to repent if it were impossible. No, my friend, man has no one to blame but himself if he does not repent and accept Christ as his Savior. God has done all that he can. He has given us a mind of our own. He has given us his word that indicts us as sinners and gives us the remedy for that sin. And finally, he has given us his son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross as the sacrifice for all our sins. And all you have to do is to believe it with a repentant heart. You know, friends, there are millions of people in the world today who are still in sin's darkness and bondage because they are not willing to repent of their sin. They are not willing to confess before God that they are sinners and deserve the sinner's judgment. They always point to someone who is worse than they themselves are. They may even point to some church member who is leading a highly hypocritical life. They just won't accept the fact that each person must answer to God for his own sins. My friend, get your eyes off your neighbor's sins and take a look at your own. God's word says there is none righteous, no, not one. And over in Isaiah 64 and verse 6 we read, for ye are all as an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Please, friend, please. You know, this is still the day of God's grace. You can repent of your sins right now as this radio broadcast comes to a close. Just where you are and just as you are. God wants to forgive you of all your sins. He wants to blot them out with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. He wants to bring you into his royal family. And my friend, he wants you to have eternal life in heaven. But my friend, you must repent. Why? Simply because God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now there are some people, and I believe they're inspired by Satan himself, who would tell you that repentance is possible after death. And because this doctrine is satanically inspired, it is therefore not substantiated by the Word of God. Friend, nowhere does the Bible give hope of salvation to those who pass out of time into eternity without Christ. Once you reject God's offer of mercy through Jesus Christ, you're lost and lost forever. Your eternal abode will be in hell and the lake of fire. Your suffering will be intense. You'll weep and wail and grind your teeth throughout the endless ages of all eternity. You remember the opportunities you had to repent of your sin. You remember how you heard this program of the gospel with its faithful warning of the coming judgment. And you remember how the Holy Spirit of God was dealing with you when you heard the word of God speaking to your soul. But friend, it'll be too late then. Yes, it'll be too late then. As far as you're concerned, the day of God's grace will have ceased to exist, and you'll be doomed and damned forever and forever and forever. You know, back in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 32, we read where God says, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. And over again in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, we read practically the same thing. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his evil way and live. Turn ye, for why will ye die? And then in the New Testament book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, we read that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And even St. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, that God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you see, my friend, God wants you to repent. He has promised to be your Heavenly Father if you will only repent of your sin and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, Jesus Christ says the same thing in both verses 3 and 5. Here's what he says. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So, my friend, there you have the alternative to repentance. Jesus says ye shall all likewise perish. But you know, it's nice to read over there in Luke chapter 15, in verses 7 and 10 both, where there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, friend, which is it going to be? Are you going to listen to the unfounded promises of the devil? Are you going to trust in your own good works and your own reasoning? Are you going to put off once again, and perhaps for the last time, your decision to repent? Or are you going to stop and listen to the Word of God, which clearly says that there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I think, my friend, of that text for today, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Oh, my friend, I plead with you today. Yes, I plead with you to acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died, the one for whom he has come to earth and died at Calvary's cross. You know, in Luke chapter 5 and verse 32, Jesus Christ said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So, friend, I plead with you, in love for your soul and in view of eternity, to repent of your sin, acknowledge you can't do a thing to save your own soul, then look by faith to Calvary, and there see the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, bearing away your sin in his own body on the tree. Friend, if you'll do that today, according to this book that I hold in my hand, the Bible, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Father in God, again we bow in thy presence today to thank thee for thine unspeakable gift. We thank thee for his love that took him to Calvary, there to die in our guilty room and in our stead. We thank thee, our God, that this is still the day of grace, and we ask thy blessing upon thy word wherever Christ is being preached. Save souls, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, I shall be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry or other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. That mailing address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now into our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.